appreciate you guys being in the house. It is Christmas season. We are starting a series called Worthy. It's about him. Really, it's always about him. But this season, we reflect and we start to focus more about who he is. I'm telling you right now that he's doing something supernatural and bigger than you can imagine right now. People are getting free. They're getting healed. He's getting into places in people's lives that they never thought he could, because he's wanting to do something on a deeper level. So one thing that's different about a relationship with Jesus and religion, this is not just a religion. There's not rules and do's and don'ts here. This is about a relationship with Jesus. And a relationship involves openness, it involves communication, and involves a willingness to be vulnerable. So if we can't be vulnerable with our Maker, we're going to have a hard time getting places. Because God will move you on once he has access to certain areas of your life. A lot of times we're trying to go through life and we want to go, and Jesus is like, listen, I'd love to go with you, but I just don't have that area yet. Until he gets the area and we can surrender the area and he can do what he has to do, then he can trust us to move on. Because it's not about you and it's not about what you want, but it's about his bigger purpose. This is what the whole Christmas season is about. It's about his purpose. At the right time, Jesus was born. At the right time. Notice it wasn't in the OT. It wasn't in the new. It wasn't like, it was the right time. The right time. Now, the book of Luke chapter 2, as we begin to read it, this very familiar story. And it says, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was the descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. Oops. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. It's a very familiar story, but Jesus came in a time of scandal. He did not come in a time where everything was copacetic. There was not peace. There was issues. There was issues. The Romans were occupying parts of Jerusalem. There were things that were taking place. There was some stress that was happening. And we know that during this time that he came, especially when you look at the relationship between Mary and Joseph, in a time of scandal. She was pregnant. They were engaged. That was a no-no back then. He had in mind to divorce her privately, but if it wasn't for the angel that intervened and said, oh, it's okay, it wasn't another man, it was God who did it, take her. And it's the one thing you have to understand and know about Jesus. Jesus did not just come, and he doesn't come in times when things are okay. He comes and interrupts process. Interrupts process. So if you're looking for Jesus to come at the right time, well, Lord, this is the right time. It may not be your right time. If you look back in your life, you were saved when he wanted you to be saved. It wasn't until that your eyes were open and your heart was open that you realized that you needed a Savior. It was Jesus that you then had the opportunity. And up to then, it wasn't time. And so I want that to bring a little bit of comfort to you, that it's times and seasons. Times and seasons. You didn't choose God. God chose you. And this is the difference when we talk about religion. Religion says, I'm going to get to God, while a relationship says, God's going to come down to me. This is what Christianity is. God came to me. And in this case, God came in the form of a baby. He didn't come as a king coming in. He came in as a baby. He said, we're going to take care of this whole thing, and we're going to do it this way. I'm going to become like you. I'm going to understand what it means to suffer like you. I'm going to grow up like you. We're going to leave no doubt that I am who I say I am. We're going to cover it all. Just so there's not an excuse for those doubters out there to say, yeah, but he doesn't really know what it means to be like, oh, yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. He soiled his diaper. He burped after he ate. You ever think about that? He had thoughts that were not godly, but he was able to take those thoughts captive. Why do you think the Bible says he grew up in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man? He had to learn how to grow up like you so that he can then save you. Do you understand that? Up to then, he didn't know what it was like to be like you. Because he didn't have that nature that said, sin, die, sin, die. He didn't have that nature, but he took on the form of that nature so that he can understand what it means to be like you so he can save you. So that's why there's no excuse when it comes to your relationship with God. Well, God, you don't know how I feel. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I know what it means to be held by an imperfect mother and an imperfect father. I know what it means to be rejected by men. Come on now. I know what it means to be rejected by your own family. Don't tell me about family. I know about family of origin stuff. Don't tell me. My brothers didn't even believe me. I know what scandal is. I know how to work when things aren't working for you. I grew up in a time where people didn't necessarily like the Jews. They didn't like me. I know there's not much read about me or said about me up to 30, but let me just say, they didn't like me. You ever notice that from 12 to 30? Nothing. Why? Because Jesus grew up. God gives him time to grow up. Until eventually, God says, now at 30, now it's time for purpose. Now it's time for purpose. I had a purpose for it. Now it's time for purpose. Some of you are struggling. When's my purpose? God said, it's coming. But you got to grow up first. I want to drive my car. You're four. You got about 12 years. You got 12 years, man. You got to wait. Okay. I want to get married. No, you don't. You're not ready. We live in a world that's, we force people to get older quicker. And a lot of that has to do with dysfunction in family. Because the kids have to learn how to fend for themselves because mom's on crack and dad's a womanizer. And so the kids have to figure out life. And they lean and they gravitate and they have to know how to make decisions young because mom and dad are not doing it. And so kids got to grow up. And so a lot of that is dysfunction in the family. And the world pushes also an agenda that, listen, we got to get old quick. Like 15, 16, man, you need to be thinking about what you're doing. It's about, we got to get the best car. Listen, my daughter goes to the school, you know. Kids are driving stuff at 15, 16. Didn't work for it. But they're driving stuff. And so they don't understand necessarily the value of what they're driving and the value of privilege. When I drove a Nissan Sentra hatchback four-door and I took white out on my hubcaps because and my car because it was dark and I'm like, man, I can't drive around with this and I would do this. I learned how to drive stick on the way home. And I was painting my stuff, walked around, had a four-door knees. I appreciated that car. I worked for it. Privilege. But we want privilege, but no responsibility. Man, what'd you do to get that? Nothing. It was given to me. Don't understand the gift. You know what you're driving? You know the gift you were given? You know what that gift is? Do you know what God did by sending his son? In essence, what he said, that's a wrap. That's a wrap. I'm going to tell you, after this gift, I don't have to give anything else. Because in this one that's wrapped up in cloth is everything you need. You're looking for salvation? It's okay. It's in him. You're looking for purpose? It's okay. It's in him. Well, I need to be healed. I got you covered. In about 33 years, you'll see. It's in him. I'm looking for peace. We got it. It's in him. And we spend all our life looking away from him to get it. Running around. Man, just give me what I need. Give me that peace. Man, I can just have you. I know I have peace. And we get it. There's no peace. There's problems now. If I could just get it, I'll be good. And you get it, and you play with it like a kid on Christmas morning for 10 minutes. It wasn't what you thought. You get sick of it. I want something else. And this is what we do in life. You don't value what you get. Do you know some of the things that you have in your life? I want you to think about the value, what they mean to you. What it took for you to get it. Some of you probably shouldn't still be here if it wasn't for Jesus. They couldn't find Mia's heartbeat when she was a baby. But supernaturally, I understand the value of that gift. To have it, and then, she may not be able to deliver a live baby. Can't find a heartbeat. Should be there, but can't find it yet. All right, we got to pray. So when you talk about what you value, is what you value really important? And does it matter what you value? I value that relationship because she almost wasn't here. I value my kids because they're a gift from God. I value the opportunities because they don't come around all the time. And so when God opens doors, I go through them because God says, I'm trusting you now to go through the doors and I'm graduating you from this season to the next because you've proven yourself. Go through the door. I value the opportunity. Value it. You've done enough. I value that. Thank you, Lord, for the season I'm in and the season I'm going into. Thank you, Lord. What do you value? That's what worship is. Worship's all about assigning value. That's why we worship. It's not just an exercise that says, well, let's see how good we can get it today. No, I'm saying worthy is your name because his name is worthy. You deserve the praise. Why? I know what it took to get me here. Well, I don't worship you. I know what it took. You alone deserve the praise. You alone are high and lifted up. Thank you for saving me from dysfunction and healing me and bringing me from afar off. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for delivering. Thank you for saving. Thank you, God, for going deep. Thank you for setting me free. You're worthy. Nobody else is. Thank you for doing the things only you can do. Only you. You're worthy. You're high and lifted up. Your name is to be praised. And when you assign that value to him, all of a sudden, things begin to break in your life and then things begin to happen. Things happen. Why? Because your relationship with Jesus is placed on a high, high platform. There's no one else worthy to be praised. I don't care who you are. Now, people elevate people all the time, man. And they're good. And I value gifts. I value gifts. But you know who I value more? The gift giver. I value the gift giver. Why? Because he's the only one who can give the gift. He's the only one who can be praised because he's the only one worthy of it. When you see how low you were, and how he raised you up, you can't help but assign value and put him where he needs to be. He's supposed to be high. He's high and lifted up. I want to be raised up. Start low. And then God will begin to raise you up. This whole idea about elevation and the whole idea about being raised up and I want to be used by God and I'm gonna do this. I'm going to do it. Yeah, you might. You might. But it's going to come in process. Everyone's shouting and they want to be part of the kingdom. And yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. You don't know what it takes to be in a position and elevated in the kingdom. If you don't think so or believe so, I want you to think of all the people that God's taken out. Why? Because people start to worship the gift and the gifts. Oh, my God, he can sing so good. Man, when he sings, my ears tingle. I love it. There's something about that person, and he is a gift, and he's great. But God is one thing. I'll tell you what he is. He said, I'll have no other gods before me. So if you start exalting people up, no, I'm not going to say it. All right. Why are certain people not elevated in politics right now? God said, you started to exalt them above me. And I said, they ain't getting in. I don't care what you say. I don't care how conservative you are. I don't care how liberal you are. He said the government's going to be on my shoulders. And so whoever I want in is going to get in. You start exalting a man and looking at him as Savior, he gone. I know you want peace. I know you want prosperity. I know you want joy. God said, look at me. I got it. It's right here. It's right here. Well, brother, what does that mean? What does that mean? Does that mean we're not supposed to be Republican? Does that mean we're not supposed to be conservative? I'm saying you need to put Jesus in the place where you put politicians and say, okay, Lord, you're first. There's second. I don't care if you put an elephant in there and he's got, I don't care who's there. Put Dumbo in and then I'll still serve you. I'm not saying anything to that. Just to show you that he's high and exalted. He's on the throne. It doesn't matter who's on your throne. He said, Nebuchadnezzar is my servant. He's my servant. And listen, don't worry, I got him. In about 7 years from now, he's going to recognize me as God. If you remember, he's going to walk around. Don't worry, I got a plan for him. God knows how to change perspective. There's a purpose. Israel was sent into captivity time and time again to accomplish God's purpose for their life. Why? They kept looking at other gods, and God says, back to the drawing board. You want it so bad? Go ahead. Until God is established and his rule and reign is sufficient and consistent in your life, there's always going to be a process of up and down, up and down, up and down. I miss people, Lord. I miss them. They're not in my life anymore. I know. I took them. I took them. You were leaning wrong. They were there for a reason. I had a purpose in that season, but that's done. We got to move on now. And I fear that what happens in the body is that people are still looking back at stuff that they lost and don't realize what they've gained. How much better are you today than you were in your previous marriage? Some of y'all. I wanted him so bad, and God said, really? You're better now than you were. Look, God's grace has been so sufficient in your life. Come on, some of y'all have been so crazy. God said, my grace has been so sufficient, so sufficient. Listen, if I'm not Lord yet, what's it going to take? I mean, come on now. I mean, how much more do I got to show you? Now, listen, you know it was me. Come on, you know. Don't play. You know, and God's funny like that. God will say, listen, don't play. Oh, you remember him? And God will show you that picture from like 10 years ago. And you're like, oh, yeah. No, it's me. It's me. Yeah, you're right. It's you. It's you. Why? Because he's the only one who can sustain you. He's the only one who can strengthen you. You're better off that certain people have gone from your life. Come on, let's just be honest. Just be honest with yourself. Me and Missy have had this conversation periodically, and I said, listen, if you would have needed it, it'd still be here. It's not here anymore. Well, I know you don't need it anymore. That grace was sufficient for then. It's not now. And we look back at times where the grace was good for that time, but it's not for this time. Every season has a purpose in it. Jesus came at the right time. Scandal, purpose. To show you what it means to serve a God, not only who created you, but who also knows you. Knows you. So in your perspective, and especially in this season, what does that look like for you? If praises are not on your lips, what's on your lips right now? If there's not a song in your heart about, if you don't wake up, I'm not saying you got to wake up every day with a different song, but if there's not some sort of joy and some sort of song in your heart throughout the day about who Jesus is and about his goodness, what is there? And perhaps you haven't gone through enough yet to realize he's worthy to be praised in the midst of it. It doesn't matter what I'm feeling like. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. But his praise shall continually be upon my mouth. Thank you, God. You know what? Not even for that, but just saving you from you. Just have a little praise break this week. Just saving you from you. Just knowing you and knowing that God knows you, that's enough to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you still love me. Thank you, Jesus, that you still empower me and still strengthen me to do what I got to do and all the stuff and all my craziness. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the ability to see straight and stand strong in you. Thank you, Lord, for freeing me from fear and God helping me to break out of myself and knowing that perfect love casts out fear and I don't have to be tormented by stuff. Why? Because your grace has been sufficient. Lord, you've been good to me. You've been faithful even in times of struggle and times where I didn't know what to do. You came in and healed and delivered and put me on a solid place, a firm foundation. Thank you, Lord, for all that stuff you've done. Just look back so that you can go forward and know that Jesus is good no matter what and that his name is worthy to be praised and you can shout it from the rooftops and the hilltops. Why? If you don't, there's a rock that will. It will. Why do you get excited? Because it's what Jesus has done. You should be proclaiming the goodness of God. Churches should wake up. What are we doing? We got rocks. We're just waiting to praise. And you're going to let a rock beat you? Some of y'all, including myself, have done some dumb stuff. God says, still, I'm worthy to be praised. There should be something in your life that shouts Jesus. There should be something. The way you live your life should shout Jesus. The way you walk, man, there's something about that person. Not perfect, but just Jesus. There's something about that person. What are we doing if we're not serving the King of Kings? What are we doing? Well, why are we here? We're just taking up space. And it becomes ritualistic. Every Christmas, here we go. We're going through the motions. There's a sale at Bath & Body. 5 for $25 on the candles. Got to get there. And all of a sudden, got to make the room smell good. And we go through the whole ritual. What are we having for Christmas this year? I don't know. Maybe ham this year. Maybe a little lemon. Maybe a little tart cherry this year. We go through all the rituals. Try to be creative. Try to do all the... What do we do? What are we doing? That's all good. But if it's not based upon Jesus, it doesn't matter. It's our ritual. It's our ritual. That's all. We're coming to church and sit down. And it's very somber. Worthy is your name. Thank you, Jesus. What are we doing for dinner tonight? That's all it is for a lot of people. It's about the dinner. I could care less about the dinner. If Jesus isn't the reason for the season, the dinner doesn't matter to me. I can go to Publix and get chicken with some potato salad, have a great night. If I know that Jesus is the reason for the season, why? I don't need anything else. I don't need all the fanfare. I don't need all the trimmings. I don't need all that stuff. I don't need it. I don't need it. But we get so stuck. Everyone's stuck. We got to do it this way. It's Christmas. Who are we buying for this year? You're 48 and you still want a gift from your family. I hope this year they give me one. I really need a good pair of socks this year. God, I hope they get, and go get your own socks. I gotta worry about if you like my gift or not, and listen, you gotta tell me what the gift is first, and then if you like it when you open it, then I know, oh, I'm in for Christmas. That's what Christmas is? Better get the gift receipt. Because that's what it is, because people do that all the time. It's like, you know, it becomes ritual. It's all ritual. I'm fired up about it. We were fired up about it. It's like, okay, same thing. You're going to look at the gift. Oh, my God, do you have the receipt? Yeah, here's the receipt. You can take it back because that's what we're going to do anyway and buy something else. That's what we do. Returns are just as much of an issue during Christmas than getting the gift. It's a big business. If you're an entrepreneur, you can make bank. But this is one gift you can't return. Because guess what? God's not taking them back. It's done. He's already grown up. He's already died. And he's sitting in heaven. Sitting all of our creation. What's up? Just waiting to hear from you. I realize that there are seasons that God's doing things, and that I understand that. But God is waiting on us to get in position so that we can sing, "Worthy is your name," in spite of cancer, in spite of disappointment, in spite of discouragement. Worthy is your name. We're in spite of that diagnosis, in spite of that kid who's not going anywhere, in spite of religion, in spite of it, worthy is your name. In spite of it, I don't see what I want to see. Worthy is your name. Still. Am I still worthy when you can't see it? Am I still worthy when it doesn't make sense? Am I still worthy when it's crazy and when things don't make sense? Am I still worthy? Yeah, you're worthy. Good. Just want to make sure. And that's what Jesus is looking for. Why? Because even in those times, his worth increases in your life. If I'm supposed to be going from faith to faith and glory to glory, that means that there are going to be seasons in my life that the Lord's going to help reassign how much worth I put on him. In other words, that there are going to be difficult seasons that come in my life that are going to test just how worthy he is and how far I'm willing to go. For some people, Christmas isn't a great time. Too many memories, things happen, not a great time for them. Is he still worthy, even though a loved one died on Christmas and those memories flood your brain? And you have a hard time enjoying this. Is he still worthy? Yeah, I got to say he's still worthy. For some people, he's not. Is he still worthy if you don't get the gift from your kid? You laugh. Is he still worthy if plans don't go the way you think they should go? And you wake up with COVID on Christmas. And you're like, I can't do Christmas. I got to go. He's worthy. He's, Is he worthy? Listen, I thank God, and I know I'm talking a little bit about some certain things today, but I thank God for things that he's delivered me from that used to have a hold of me that I could care less about right now. Because you begin to realize that your life is worth more than what you assign value to, and that to him, you're more precious, and that if he's willing to be born like me, be raised like me, and then die for me, what else is there? It's a wrap. It's all in here. It's a wrap. That's it. End scene. It's done. That's what Jesus' birth was. End scene. He entered as a baby. He exited on the cross. When he said it was finished, God the Father said, yes, it is. Now he's up in heaven just looking. In all glory, all power, all dominion. Eyes going back and forth looking. Who can I show myself? Who can I show myself strong on? Man, who's preaching good? Who's living good? Who's reaching out for me? Because we know he responds to faith. So who's really believing me for stuff? He's always looking. Don't think that God is some passive God just sitting there being like, well, they come. But he's what? He's looking. He's looking, always drawn. Believe me, remember what I did for you? Yeah, Lord, I remember. And all of a sudden, praise level goes up. He's got that meter. You know how it is in Elf? You know, remember that spirit meter? Remember the spirit meter in Elf? And all of a sudden, when the dad finally sung, and the sleigh was going over him, and you know, it was a great little movie thing, and all of a sudden, the meter goes up, and all of a sudden, it's like, oh my God, he's real? It's the same way in our life. How's your praise meter? It should be going up. This is not the season for bah humbug. For the Christian, this is not the season of mourning. It's a season of rejoicing. Even in the midst of hardship, Lord, you're worthy. And he becomes the focal point of everything that we do. Everything that we do. Why do we do that? Because it's about Jesus. He's the focal point. Ben, come on up. I'm all for the gifts, man. I'm all for the receiving. I'm cool. I'm cool with it. But when it's all said and done, and after Christmas Day, what do you do with Jesus? If I can't return him, then I better open up the gift and find out what's actually in there. There's no gift receipt. I can't go back to Macy's and say, I bought this gift. He's human. But do you take those? So I've got to spend my life finding out what's in there. And every season, there's a different facet of growth. Every season, there's a different facet of peace and joy. As we go deeper and wider, and as we look for God in different places, there are different facets of who he is. He doesn't get old. So I know he's, I've seen everything I could see about God. I've looked every which way. You haven't even seen scratch the surface. So, what value do you place on that? Every year, it's about this time, and I think it's a conspiracy theory, that my phone starts to go slow. And I get the email that says, you are eligible for an early upgrade on your iPhone. Hey man, I'm 1 year into a 2-year contract. I don't want to upgrade early, but I know what you're doing. You're trying to push me to get something I'm not ready for. I'm not ready for it. And I get those emails that remind me, and my daughter said, Dad, it's time for an upgrade. We all got to do it. So it's this time. We all need the phone. I need the phone with the 5 cameras on the back. It's time. No, you don't. Not time. You cannot put another camera on the iPhone. What are you going to do? another lens. The whole thing is going to be one eye on the back, like next year. It's going to be like, it's like, it's ridiculous. The iPhone 28 is going to be literally just a camera. Pushing it up. We got to upgrade. We got to upgrade. It just starts to slow. Because why? The world's always trying to get you to upgrade. So is Jesus. I'm trying to get you to upgrade, to shed more your former self, to become more like me. That's why all this stuff you're going through, it's all about the shedding process. It's hell, but it's shedding. It's shedding just former, the former self. I know what I place inside of you, says the Lord. I already know what I place inside of you. And this whole process is about shedding. And so when I ask you to forgive and I ask you to go deeper and do these things, it's because inside I know the value of what I'm asking you to do. Because in the end, you are going to like the way you look. And I do guarantee it. You are. I know you don't like it now, but you're going to like the way you look and the way you feel. If you didn't let me get in, I know it's a fight to get in there because the enemy has a hold on that because you've been holding on to it. Thinking that, well, it's my comfort. It's what I lean into. It's part of who I am. No, you believed it's part of who you are. It's not. Because you're a new creature in me, and we got to get some of that old creature out. So that you can become the man or woman that I've called you to be. Free. Walking in freedom. But the enemy is lying to so many people, and they're holding on to lies from the past and what dad did, all that stuff, trying to hold on to this stuff. And God said, just let it go. Come on, man. Come on. Lord, it's hard to let go. I know it's hard to let go, but I know that's why I'm pushing you. Because I know the value if you just let it go. You'll see breakthrough in your life because that's what you really want. You really want breakthrough. You do. And deep down, Lord, I want breakthrough. Okay, let me break you. No, no, I can't. No, that's how it works. No, you got to be broken and all of a sudden you'll see breakthrough. No, I can't. I showed you the way. God is willing to be broken. So that I could reset and heal areas that have been mangled. Let's all stand on our feet if we could. Aren't you the least bit curious of why he came as a baby? This is always the time and the season that we always reflect. We should be reflective, man. And we don't really get it. We're like, why was it a baby? And you're not going to get into the mind of God and fully comprehend why he did what he did. But you're going to have to believe in faith that he knew what he was doing and that he knows what he's doing. And you're going to know the love of God the Father more now because you've had her. Because you're going to begin to understand the unconditional love that you have for that baby and how you would do anything to help that baby. God said, you're going to begin to feel and understand and know the love that I have for you and how I would move heaven and earth to come for you. Because there are things that God said I want to heal in your life if you'll let me get in. And that's why God does what he does, because we don't understand the value of the gift, but as the gift grows, our knowledge of who God is grows. I didn't understand the unconditional love of God to the point that I do now until I started having kids. Because when I was single, I struggled with the love of God. It's not until I had kids that it changed my life. Because it gave me a perspective of how God sees me. If God would send his best, there's nothing that he wouldn't do for me. But if I can't get there and my perspective can't change to that, I'll always see that God is some distant God who is not really interested in really who I am. And it'll always be this jaded perspective about, does God really love me or does he love me? And God says, I got to change that. And the Christmas season is a time where we look and we begin to see the change. It was a change point for humanity. The change point. He said, we're going to start to do something different here. Enough of bulls and goats and sacrifices, all that stuff. All that. Here's the lamb. Here he is. Everything you need is going to be found in him. Everything you need. And I'm going to show you how deep, how wide my love is for you. You're not going to comprehend it. You won't be able to. But you'll begin to understand it more, a little more. And I feel that God's saying, if I can get you to see that, it'll change how you see yourself and how you live your life. I'm not trying to destroy your dreams. I'm trying to get you to see me, that I've been in the midst of it all, and that I am in the midst of it all, working out my plan and my purpose for you. But you gotta look. Stop looking for the answer. No, it's there. It's there. Lord, for every person in this room, called by you, chosen by you, loved by you, thank you, Lord, for a new depth and understanding of your great love for them. Lord, every season, every trial, every difficulty has brought them to this place, to where they are in their life. Every broken heart, Lord, you've given them an opportunity to see you in the midst of it. Lord, I pray that you'd help give them the perspective and help them to see like you see. That the gift of your son was enough. It was enough. And that we can walk in healing and deliverance and freedom and become the men and women that you called us to be, because we're precious to you. Help us to see past hurt. Help us to see past trauma, to see past those things that we're holding on to, and to see you. Because we know that if the Son sets us free, we're free indeed. Give people the strength to continue to walk with you and talk with you. Lord, I pray that it would never become a religious thing or some sort of exercise, but it would become a relationship. Lord, let there be such freedom that they would not be bound by any system, any tradition. And love you above all else, because you are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.